There is one simple, straight, searching question that I want to pose at the very outset of the message this evening, and it's this: how can a person be right with God? How can a person be right with God? Or if we wanted to rephrase the question, perhaps we might put it this way: how can a person be righteous before God? Because when we speak about being righteous before God, we are in a sense saying that we are then in a right relationship with God. What's the answer to that question? If we were to ask man, no doubt we would have a multitude of answers. But the answer that's all important is found in the Scriptures. That answer that the Lord gives to us to that very question: how can a person be right with God? How can a man, a woman, a boy or a girl be righteous before God? Well, we have the Lord's answer in His Word. And in particular, we have the answer here in this epistle to the Romans. We've been reading from it this evening. And we find in this epistle to the Romans that the theme is undoubtedly, unquestionably, the glorious gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we turn, for example, to the third chapter of this epistle to the Romans, we find that the Lord's answer is very clear to that question, because we find that the only ground of our acceptance before God, and to be accepted before God, we need to have that righteousness of God. The only ground of acceptance before God is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul makes that clear, for example, in Romans chapter 3 and the verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then as we read a little further down this third chapter of Romans, we discover that not only have we got the ground for our acceptance before God, but we have also revealed to us the way to this acceptance before God on the ground of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 28 says this: therefore we conclude that a man is justified, in other words, declared righteous, getting that right relationship with God. A man is justified by faith. So are we getting the clear picture here? The ground of our acceptance is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way to that acceptance is the way of faith. It's the way of faith. And as we leave Romans chapter 3 and come into Romans chapter 4, the chapter that we read from this evening, we find that Paul, as he writes here to the Christians at Rome under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he's concerned to let them know that this has always been God's appointed way, the way of faith. That's why, for example, in Romans chapter 4, he tells us concerning David in verse 6, he says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Not only does he speak of David, but you'll see in the opening verses of Romans chapter 4 that he refers to Abraham. Notice in verse 2 we read, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. That's the way of faith. The way of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Emphasizing that Abraham was saved, justified, in the way of faith, on the grounds of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That brings us to our text this evening here in Romans chapter 4, to verses 4 and 5. And let me read the two verses to you. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Did you notice the contrast between verse 4 and verse 5? Verse 4 begins, to him that worketh, to him that worketh. And then verse 5 begins, to him that worketh not. So in these two verses we have a tremendous contrast, and these verses are telling us and showing us that there is a righteousness, the righteousness that we need to be in that right relationship with God. The righteousness that we need is not by works, but it is by faith. And so let's come then for just a few brief moments this evening to look at these two verses, verses 4 and 5 of Romans chapter 4. Very often the preacher has got 3 points in his message. I just have 2. The first point is based on verse 4. The second point is based on verse 5. But let's look at verse 4 first of all. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Who's working? Who's working here? Well, we just have the pronoun him. Now to him that worketh. We don't have any personal name here. Nor do we have any particular nationality. The text just says, now to him that worketh. Well, what do we know about this individual? What do we know about this person? Well, one thing we know for certain is this, that this person knows, this person knows that he must have a righteousness. He knows that. He understands that much. He must have a righteousness to commend himself to God. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And being convinced that he needs a righteousness, what is he attempting? It's obvious from what the text says here in verse 4 that he's attempting to construct his own righteousness. He's attempting to somehow build a righteousness, to frame a righteousness, to shape a righteousness. We have a very vivid example of that in the scriptures, and I'm going to turn to it for just a moment over in Luke's Gospel and the 18th chapter, where we read there of a parable that was spoken in verse 9. The Lord speaking this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. This is a parable spoken to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And then we read about the Pharisee. And he's standing and he's praying. Well, he would say he was praying to God. In many ways, he's talking to himself. He was praying thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. I thank thee that I am not as other men. Here is this Pharisee, and he has got a... or he feels he has got a righteousness. And the righteousness that he senses that he has and that he thinks he has is a self-righteousness. That's why he's speaking in the manner that we've just read there in the verse. Lord, I thank thee that I am not as others. Of course, self-righteousness is a terrible disease. It's a terrible disease, self-righteousness. And it affects every member of the human race. There's no one excepted. There's no one excluded. Everyone has got this disease of self-righteousness before God. It affects all, everyone in Adam's family, if we can put it like that. But you'll notice how this Pharisee is attempting to construct a righteousness before God. What's he basing it on? Well, he's really basing it on two things. He's basing it on who he thinks he is. And who does he think he is? Well, he thinks that he's not as others. He thinks that he's much better than other individuals. That he's got more knowledge than they have. He wouldn't see himself as being as ignorant as they are in the sense of lacking knowledge. He sees himself in some way superior to others. By no means does he think that he's inferior to any. And because of who he considers himself to be in his own person, he feels that he has got some ground and some basis for constructing a righteousness that will bring him into a right relationship with God. Am I speaking to someone tonight and that's you? You feel that you are better than others. Oh, you may never have said those words, but perhaps that's been in your mind. Those have been your thoughts. I'm not a so-and-so. I feel I'm much better. I feel I'm much more upright. I feel I'm much more moral than such and such a person. I would never do the things that they do. I would never say the words that they say. And you consider yourself to be a person apart from others, just like this Pharisee. And so you are basing your righteousness to be in a right relationship with God upon who you feel that you are in yourself, in your own person. But you'll notice there was something else that was involved in this Pharisee's self-righteousness. And what was it? It was what he was doing. It's what he was doing. And what was he doing? Do you know something? He was engaging in what he considered religious exercises. He was engaging in religious exercises. He said in verse 12 of Luke 18, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I think there's something of self-gratification here. Perhaps we could sum it up by those words that we find over in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. I'll read the words to you. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Wasn't that exactly what this Pharisee was doing? Proclaiming his own goodness. And by that, he's trying to build and construct and frame a righteousness that he thinks will bring him into a right relationship with God. That's who this individual is. But as you look at the text here in verse 4 further, thinking about this individual, he does have a problem. He has a very serious problem. To him that worketh. Because the rest of the verse says, to him that worketh is the reward. And in the sense of the verses here, in the context, it's speaking about the reward of righteousness. It's important that you understand that. The reward of righteousness. So if we can read it like that, just to get the sense and the meaning of the words. Now, to him that worketh is the reward, meaning the reward of righteousness, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Of debt. Oh, we don't like to think about debt, do we? That's something that sometimes frightens us if we think we were going to get into a lot of debt. But let's try and work through the principle that's being set before us here. In these words, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Whenever we would do work for someone, If we can think for a moment about the employer-employee relationship. When we would do work for someone, what do we expect? We quite naturally and rightly would expect to get some pay, some wages, for the work that we have done, for the work that we have performed. Why? Why would you expect that? You would expect that because of the principle of debt that's in operation. That's why you would reason like that. That's why you would think like that. The employer is saying, well, I want you to do this work and this work. There's a set amount of work that you have to do, and you do it. And because you have done it, because you have worked, your employer is in debt to you. Your employer is in debt to you, and therefore he will pay you the wages because he knows that he's in debt. The work that you have done, the work that you have done is in this sense putting your employer in debt to you. And so when you get your pay, you would never think for one moment of saying, that was most kind of my employer. Would you? No. You would be thinking all the while, well, I have worked. I have worked for this. And so therefore my employer is in debt to me, and because I have worked, then I expect the reward to be in keeping with the work that I have done. That's the principle. It's this concept of debt. Well, you see, that concept, the concept of debt, cancels out any grace involved. And that's what's being set before us here in verse 4. To him that worketh is the reward. Remember, it's the reward of righteousness. It's not reckoned of grace. Rather, it's reckoned of debt. I have worked. So I have put God in debt to me. I have put God in debt to me. And so therefore, I will get the reward accordingly. But God is not in debt to anyone because of any work that we have done, any attempt that we make to somehow frame or build or construct a righteousness that will put us in a right relationship with God? Not at all. You see, that's the problem with the person, the individual who's working to try and make a righteousness that puts him in that right relationship with the Lord. Have you been doing that? Have you been attempting that? Thinking that all your efforts, all your works of whatever kind, that somehow God will reward you for those works and those efforts? That would not be according to grace. You can never get a righteousness that God accepts that way, as you try and attempt to work for it. But no matter how hard this individual would have worked, no matter how long he would have worked, all the while he's condemned. All the while he's condemned. I refer you again to Romans chapter 3, in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. What does that mean, by the deeds of the law? By the works of the law. By that which we attempt to do. By the works that we attempt to engage in, it's clear no flesh can be justified. And if we're not justified, we're condemned. And man is condemned by God's holy law because we are lawbreakers. We have broken God's law. And we can't keep that law, even though we might try to perform some kind of a righteousness. No, we're condemned by God's holy law. Think of those words in Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. It is written, cursed is everyone. Listen. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. Underline the little word all. All things which are written in the book of the law to do them. What does the law demand? God's law demands obedience. What kind of an obedience? God's law demands a perfect obedience. Because God's law is a perfect law. And no one, no human being can obey perfectly the law of God. God demands perfection. You think of that. God demands perfection, and God only accepts perfection. So that means if you cannot keep perfectly His law, which you can't, God cannot accept you. God cannot accept you. If you cannot provide a perfect obedience to the law, then you don't have a perfect righteousness. And God will not accept you. Oh, who would dare to stand on the grounds of their own efforts and their own works? Well, this individual in verse 4 was attempting that. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. That brings me in the second place to think of verse 5 with the contrast. But to him that worketh not. But to him that worketh not. Why is the individual here in verse 5 described in this way? But to him that worketh not? Oh, for many reasons. Not least, this individual who's not working, who's not working to try and construct a righteousness that will please God, this individual has realized that, yes, he needs a righteousness. He does need a righteousness that God will accept. But he has given up. He has given up every attempt to construct a righteousness of his own. He's given up. He's stopped working. He has stopped trying. He has stopped saying, look, I have got a basis in myself to build a righteousness that will mean I'll be accepted before a holy God. He has ceased trying to do works and perform in that way. But what has happened? Well, there's something that has replaced his working. There is. And what is it? Well, the verse tells us, but to him that worketh not, verse 5, but believeth. Believeth. Faith. Trust. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Maybe you don't consider yourself ungodly. You wouldn't use that word to describe yourself, but everyone is ungodly. And I want you to know that God's wrath is against all ungodliness. That's what Paul tells us over in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. But then when we come to Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, we find these words, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died. Listen, Christ died. Who for? For the ungodly. Yes, that's who Christ died for. He died for the ungodly. He died for the unrighteous, so that the ungodly, the unrighteous, in coming to him and believing on him and trusting in him, would have his perfect righteousness put to their account. And in the court of heaven, God would declare them righteous, justified, because they have Christ's righteousness as their righteousness. And how was it received? Not by works, but by faith. By faith. By believing on the one who has provided a perfect righteousness that the law of God demands. And Jesus Christ did that. He kept the law. He kept the law perfectly. He obeyed every last jot and tittle of God's holy law. And he did it for a sinner like you. He did it for a sinner like me. Yes, he did. To provide a righteousness that if you come and trust in him and receive it by faith, God will accept you in Christ. He will accept you in Christ. Because God justifies those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there is a righteousness, and it's Christ's righteousness. There is a righteousness which the eye of God can find no fault with. The eye of God can find no flaw in. Because it's perfect. It's perfect. And we can't possibly of ourselves have a perfect righteousness. The eye of God, scrutinizing the righteousness of Christ, and he cannot find one blemish. That means that all who are clothed with that righteousness are safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the one who justifies the ungodly. Yes, our sin is reckoned to Christ, and his righteousness is reckoned to us. To him that worketh not, but believeth the way of faith, on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. God has provided in grace a free, perfect righteousness that satisfies his law. And if you come to Christ, you will receive that righteousness. So I must ask you, which verse are you in tonight? Are you in verse 4? The one who's working? Or are you in verse 5? The one who's no longer working has given up every attempt at trying to construct a righteousness. Coming by faith to Jesus Christ, and knowing in him the right relationship with God. Wasn't that the question that we posed at the outset? How can a person be right with God? How can a man, a woman, be righteous before God? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what Paul tells us over in the 10th chapter of Romans. The verse 1 says that he has a great burden and a great desire for his kinsmen according to the flesh. And then he tells us in verse 2, he says, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. And then he tells us this about them. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, you see, they're working, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end or the fulfillment or the completion of the law for righteousness. To whom? To every one that believeth. Is that clear? It's to everyone that believeth. So is your righteousness tonight the righteousness of God, not of yourself? Is your righteousness in Christ and no one else? Is your righteousness through faith in Him plus nothing? Plus nothing. We're saved by grace. By grace alone. Through faith alone. In Christ alone. You can't be saved any other way. If you've come to the meeting tonight as one who has been trying to form your own righteousness, you've been working, and you think that you've put God in debt to you and He'll reward you in some way. Oh no, salvation is by grace. It's by grace and by grace alone. Oh, I trust that if you've come in fitting the description here of Romans 4 and verse 4, you will leave the meeting fitting into the description of Romans 4 and verse 5. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Come to Christ tonight. Believe on him. And then you will have an assurance that you're in the right relationship with God. Because remember, if you die out of Christ, you have no hope. There is no opportunity beyond the grave to get into a right relationship with God. That's why this matter is urgent. That's why you need to tend to it tonight, even now, lest death come suddenly upon you and you be taken out of time and into eternity. But if you come and die without Christ, you'll go to a lost eternity. And yet there is a Saviour who bids you come. And He says, come and welcome. Come and welcome. You need to come. If you will be saved, you must come. May you come tonight and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for Thy Word, and we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy truth to all our hearts. Thou knowest any in our gathering tonight who are trying to construct their own righteousness based upon who they believe they are in their own persons and what they can do by way of some religious exercises. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt reveal to them the folly of such a thing. And oh, that they would be wise and trust in Christ, who is the sinner's righteousness. Lord, grant that they will come, that they will delay no longer. But even this very hour, they will come to the Savior and make no delay. We ask in His name and for His sake. Amen.